comments?
I would agree with that assessment for sure. It's clear from the earlier report that we should not let this go forward with the existing tower.
Councilor Keckner?
Just one final comment, you know, with the township being the landowner, and then recently, after 14 years, there was court filings regard to the Elliott Lake Mall collapse. You know, it speaks to the liability. And one liability, $1 million needs retirement living, and its for-profit arm, Nordev, which owned the mall between 1999 and 2005. So 10 years prior to the mall collapse, owners of that property were liable for, you know, the results of that mall collapse. Core Slab Structures Incorporated, the company that provided the hollow core slabs for the rooftop parking lot pre-1979. And, you know, the slabs themselves were not the structural failure, but they were partially liable. So looking at what this Max Tower report says, in good conscience, it's just, it would not be wise to continue on with a lease agreement.
Councilor Hassan?
Yeah, you're right, Mike, and it came across my mind now that I've thought about it a little bit as a dumb idea, and that would be, as Deb mentioned, something about selling the property, but Folsom Trail, now whether we could sever off a portion and sell them the property that the tower's on, but we'd still be always that fraction of risk that we're selling something for a reason because it's a dangerous condition, so that's still a risk maneuver, so like, we're kind of handcuffed, I think, a bit.
Further comments?
Well, yeah. In the decommissioning, that includes taking the tower down and shipping away.
Correct.
It's all covered right now.
Councilor Zubak?
Should we mention Max Tower's name in that, or the decommissioning?
I don't feel like we need to, because the previous resolution to award the tower also included the decommission, and it specified Max Tower and the price.
Yep.
Okay, so we have an amendment to the previous resolution. There's a second paragraph added. I'll read that first. Further, that council declares the telecommunications tower located at 10 Balsam Road surplus to municipal needs, and further, that council does hereby direct staff to proceed with the decommissioning of the tower. Any comments or questions related to the amendment? Councilor Ott?
Does decommissioning mean removing? But that's not my interpretation of that word.
Telecommunication tower speak, they always say decommissioning.
I would be happier if it said decommissioning and removal.
That makes sense, because
this is, as long as it's still there, it can fall and kill somebody. Or somebody can climb it and kill themselves, but yeah.
Okay, so that amendment has been amended. We've got decommissioning, comma, removal and disposal of the tower.
Good.
That's pretty clear.
And we have the recording of Carly saying that too.
And should we add that it's not in the municipal transfer station?
Yeah.
We've often done that because contractors especially like to say, oh, well, we could dispose of things there.
Wouldn't it count as scrap metal?
Yeah. So I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed. And on the amended resolution, all those in favor? None opposed. Carried.
There's no doubt a lot of that old tower could be reused in some way, possibly.
Well, again, the metal would have, well, I don't know, I'm no metallurgist, but I mean, might have some residual value if it was melted down and reused, but I don't know.
On to item 17.2, the resolution 26-175, moved by Councilor Keckner, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Admin 2026-05 report from Clerk Administrator Carly Britton for information purposes. Further, the Council directs staff to explore the feasibility, design, and potential funding opportunities for the development of a historical walking trail at the municipal property located at 701 Highway 124. Discussion? We might need a little background on this too. I think Carly, you want to speak to it, where this came from?
Council's been speaking about the 150th anniversary banners currently hung in the community center. Staff were bouncing ideas back and forth about the banners, and if we were to spend money encapsulating them in custom frames, we thought, why not leave them outside? That way that more people can enjoy them and read them. We do have a lot of people come to our community center, but they're usually playing pickleball or being at a wedding and not necessarily reading the history of MacKellar. So we thought a walking trail may encompass the frames and just have them out for the public. There's lots of grants out there for accessibility, for healthy aging and active living. So encompassing a walking trail that's accessible, senior-friendly, and of all ages around the property to showcase what we have, both naturally and historically, I think would be a great way to showcase the banners. Sorry, I had another train of thought going there. We've acquired more property over the last few years now with the new ball field, so a trail would approximately be just a kilometer long. MacKellar doesn't have maintained sidewalks within the village, so people can come and walk their young children or their dogs. Just another place for the community to stay active without being inside this building because it is fairly heavily used. So it's just another recreation facility for visitors and residents to come visit.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Zulak.
So you said grants for accessibility, so they would have to be like paved or something, the trail, right, for people?
I'd have to speak to the ministry about that. I think paved surfaces are needed for accessibility,
yeah.
But maybe there's a fine granular we could use instead. This is part of this feasibility study.
Yeah.
Staff would have to deep dive further into what requirements would make it eligible for an accessibility grant, and we could provide that to council.
Yeah, because I think if someone is in a wheelchair or a walker, I don't think the granulars would work.
Mm-hmm.
The fitness trail in Parry Sound runs all along the water. Is it accessible, I wonder?
I can't
just
say
nobody
officially.
Knows that. Yeah, okay, I was just kind of curious, because
yeah.
It's not paved.
Yeah,
it's hard,
yeah.
Rock hard with fine granular.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of thing, which might pass, but that's obviously something you would look into.
The further north that you get on that trail, though, the more impassable that it is, right? I mean, I've ridden
bike
up there a bunch of times, and you get to the point like it's just not worth it. You turn around and go back.
Yeah, yeah, going north at the salt dock is
yes.
basically the
yes.
end of their trail.
Yeah.
Kind of
it never says so, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
Councilor Keckman?
So in our unfinished business, it talks about the fix the 150th Legacy Project in Community Hall, flatten and protect poster on the wall. So this is the report that is dealing with that?
Correct.
Because
it's just another proposal.
Because I think we're talking about two different issues here. Like walking trail is one proposal which has been on the council's sort of agenda or on wish list since 2019. I believe that we actually put in a grant or tried to obtain a grant for it. I think it was around 2019, enabling accessibility in communities, Government Ontario or Government Canada up to 120,000, and the application was submitted, and I believe that Bob Hughes did the engineering for that. And so we would basically have an estimate of how much this would cost based on that proposal that was submitted for a grant. And
along with it, do you know what the grant was?
It was denied. And basically, I think it was because required eligibility criteria, operational plan developed alignment with asset management plans for municipal projects. So there was nothing mentioned about this in the asset management plan, so it didn't qualify for the funding. From what I could gather, I don't have the exact application that was submitted or the information that was returned, but just putting the pieces together of the information. I think that if we could, there's some crucial information that is important for understanding the banners and what we would expect would be feasible solution for fixing what was originally, you know, the curling of the banners. And there's several things missing that maybe we could have an updated report that would be useful. So just one little housekeeping thing, there's 17 banners, not 15. The banners, you know, they really are a significant keepsake from the 150th celebration. So I think it would be useful if we, for starters, if we had the basic information of, we know who created them. It was certain members of the 150th committee, the Weir family, and that costed the design work and digital file for that costed $1,000. So if we have a digital file for that, and we could determine what the replacement cost is, that, you know, there's several options that should be presented in the report, one of them being possibly do nothing. And then after 10 years, if the cost of replacing it, if there's if there's currently a digital file for it, and it's, I have no idea, $5,000 to replace those, and they last 10 years, 20 years, so that's an option that should be with a cost estimate within the report. The other option that we've been provided with is the Jantz Interiors proposal, and that ranged from, I think it was approximately $7,000 to $8,000. So that's an option that we could consider, because the options presented in this report is basically go the walking trail proposal route. And who knows how long, and in the meantime, the posters would be removed from the wall and stored someplace. That's right in the report here. You want me to read it for you?
Sure.
Okay. In the meantime, it would be wise to carefully remove the banners from the community center and store them securely to prevent further curling and damage. Once installed along the walking trail at their new permanent location, the banners could be reintroduced to the public at a special unveiling event celebrating the opening of the trail and showcasing them. And talking to some of the historical committee would like to discuss this further before any actions are taken, because they really felt that the location of the current location of the banners was specifically chosen because they had looked at numerous locations within the municipality where the banners could be located, and that space was selected specifically for the banners. They had measured how wide the banners are, 23 inches, the height of them, 8.6 feet, so that space was specifically chosen, and the only location that the committee had determined was suitable for the banners. And the other reason being that because it does have a high concentration of people who attend the community center for events, that anytime you go in there, there's people looking at those banners. And it doesn't matter if there's a small event or a large event, there's people, a large concentration of people that are checking out the banners, whereas if they're on a walking trail, there was a concern that there would be a reduced amount of people who actually can access and view the banners in basically 6 months of the year, whereas these are available 12 months of the year for anyone attending any events at the community center.
Would we give any consideration?
Councilor Ryan, go ahead.
Sorry, would we give any consideration to keeping the walking trail here open? In other words, have Public Works plow it after a fashion, use a blower, whatever works. But
that's a major undertaking. Hmm. With the winter we've had, they don't add it to their road responsibilities. I don't know whether that's a possibility or not. We don't have the sidewalk clearing equipment they do in Perry Sound.
Another stage you would have to consider. But I'm just wondering, back to Mike a little bit to whether, like, I think the format of the walking trail is a wonderful idea. Now, I think with the banners, I don't think that should be a make or break point as far as doing this trail, whether there's banners on it in the future or there isn't, or whether they remain in the community center. I still like to see us proceed and get everything in place and apply for a grant for the proposal that Carly has done. And it's just the banners are still something that we just need to make the decision on going forward, because let's face it, this trail isn't going to happen in the next year or two by any means. So that gives the historical group to make determination, put more thoughts into it. But I just like to, besides the banners, continue on and do the planning, the route to where it's going to be, and get everything in place to apply for a grant and continue with the planning of it. But that's a good point, Mike. I think we got to get more input on the banners, but I think that's just a minor thing. If we could get this trail in place, I think it would just be a wonderful thing. I think it's something that a lot of people in the community would come, specifically come to utilize, if we can get it built right down along the water. And I don't know if you've been down along the water from where we bought that new property at the very corner of the Ball Diamond, right along the shore. It could be a wonderful trail, right tight to the water. And we've got all these historical boulders that were rolled off the fields, you know, 200 years ago when the farmers moved into the area, all down there preserved perfectly, aged perfectly. So if they're all set as a retaining wall along the shoreline and you build your path all around there, I think it would just be a wonderful thing. And it would open up the possibility even for people walking their dogs and that, because a lot of, like, I don't believe that people can have their dogs swimming at our beaches. I don't think that's allowed, or it's just not a proper thing. Where with all that shoreline, and there's a couple spots in there, if people were walking their dogs, yes, it could be an opportunity to have swimming areas for dogs that are being walked also, if that's legal. I don't know. It's something else we'd have to look into, but kind of thing. So, but anyways, I still like to see whatever it takes to get this project in place, and so anyways, that's my opinion.
Boulders in water, that brings in DFO and M&R, and
they wouldn't be going in the water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'd still be on.
There's an upstream there,
shoreline. Oh yeah, it'd be amazing. Like, anybody goes down there right now and looks at the path and try to walk it right now, like, yeah, you'd go, No way on earth this is ever going to happen. That's what I don't want anybody walking to think, oh, well, this is a pipe dream. This cannot happen. It's amazing with the right operators on the right equipment what can happen. They can go in there with the excavators and just place these boulders, you know, and then the next machine comes along with, like, a bobcat carrying the, you know, the materials, and it can happen. So I just don't want somebody walking and say, oh, that's can't, we'll just put it across the field. No, I think it's very important that we incorporate that water frontage into this trail.
It
so anyways.
It is useful to have the water frontage actually being used, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, it can be done, but at what cost? And is that another thing? And with the grant, I mean, we've already discovered that if it's not in the asset management plan, so Tom is working on that, I think, maybe that should be added somewhere in there, that it's a project going ahead if council agrees to it. But if it's not in there, there's no point even applying for a grant, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, did we not mention anything like that in the asset management plan? Did we not just completed an asset management plan, or what was that?
We did. It's not included now, but it's something that we could add.
Okay, so that's something that we would add. So when the grant, you know, hey, it's off for a grant application, we can show that is in our future dreams.
Councilor Carton?
So it has been on the council table, like I said, since what I could find, at least 2019, and there was an engineering report completed by Bob Hughes when we submitted that application. So that engineering work for the trail, I believe, already exists, and then we would sort of have an idea of what the cost estimate is as well. So the, you know, there's a support for the walking trail, and the historical committee would submit, you know, historical photos that would be relevant, you know, to the walking trail. Mm-hmm. But I think the consensus was that the banners are, you know, a unique project, and would and there was as well, there was funding provided by Canadian Arts and Heritage Legacy Fund for those banners, and so there were terms and conditions in respect to those banners. So to find that documentation regarding that funding would be good, you know, just to have an understanding what the expectations were. But we do have, I think it's $18,000 in the parkland dedication currently, and in the community center reserve fund, I think there is a little over $100,000. So, you know, if the Janice Interiors proposal is the way that, you know, it is one of the considerations, then there is money available in the budget, you know, for that particular project.
Yeah. And if council lets the route you would like to go, so basically the report had that as a suggestion. Obviously council has the ultimate say, so if we want to do something else with the banners, well, that's what will happen with the banners. And as far as what happens on this historical walking trail, it could be historical pictures, or it could be, like you say, it's digitally saved, the banners, whether some would be incorporated in the trail. But I would have to think that, wonder, should we have a resolution then from the historical as to their wish going forward, do you think, a recommendation?
We'll probably discuss it at the next historical committee meeting, just, and then there'd be a, because we did take a look at the banners early on in this conversation, just to see if there were any ideas, just to work on the curling aspect. Some members didn't feel like there was really any major issue compared to when they were first installed, but there definitely are different ways of ideas that were presented that could be feasible. Could even just do one banner as a test strip to see if it works. You know, it's a cheap solution that works. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be right for the, say, Carly's report be made available to the committee so they kind of see what kind of hit our table and then discuss what they rather see, or whether they think that's a good idea or what they want to see for the banners? Would that be reasonable?
I did forward the reports so they're aware of the report.
Oh, okay.
So.
Right now.
Yeah, it's just a question, if we go ahead with the trail or apply for it, then what do you do with the banners in the meantime? Because they are curling, certainly, and you can't leave them like that. So do you put them in storage? That seemed to be a bit of a waste. Yeah, Councilor Zilli.
I'd like to see go ahead with the chance and have the banners fixed up, have the frames put on them, have them there. And I'd also like to see them go forward with checking into the grant and that, not necessarily for the banners, but, you know, as a walking trail, because I think it's a great idea. And who knows what could come up in the meantime if we did get the grant, right? There could be other ideas to put along there. But I would like to see the banners fixed up and before they get destroyed.
We can bring forward the Janice Interiors quotation again to council on the May 5th meeting, and then council can award it or not.
And I think that's a great idea, the walking trail, if it ever comes to be. And there's all kinds of things that you could put along there, I think, that, you know, that would be interesting to people.
Oh yeah, I picture little rock areas, incorporate all those, there's tons of those boulders down there. Like, you can really make nice little rest areas, you know, with a park bench, you know, kind of thing. We don't have to have a lot of them, maybe a couple of them speckled in that real rough territory, and then you come out the walking trails, still staying down the water, and then up by the playground, incorporate the playground, go right around by, I believe we should be
playground equipment.
Yeah, that's right. And I believe we should be enhancing the next to the horse out there. We have to beautify that and make it so it's kind of where people would walk over and,
yeah,
you know, this wonder kind of thing, and continue on and do the loop around. I think it's something that the community would be just really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any further discussion? We've got a couple of amendments here. One of them is to delete the word historical walking trail and just call it walking trail. And there's an added clause, a third clause, that further the 17 150th celebration banners not be included in the walking trail proposal. Do you want it this time, or is it better just to leave it the way it's worded?
They don't, like, if we're going to start gearing up for, you know, getting quotations and get prepared to apply for a grant, I don't think it's something that's needed unless all of a sudden there's some big grant available for historic the walking trail instead. Yes, okay, let's get more printed and say, or we will get more, or we'll tell them the ones in the community center, we're going to put ones identical to them out on the trail and get them made up if that gets us a big, large grant to make it all happen. So it's all a case of staff feeling it all out as they go along, what's going to get us the grant. And it may take, be nice if it happens, say, in 2027, but it could end up being 2028. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but let's get the ball rolling a little bit.
Councilor Ryan?
It occurs to me sitting here that if we had them out there, that they might become objects of vandalism.
Yeah, that's
right. People defacing them or destroying them or taking them or whatever, because they're readily available. And again, I don't think any rational person does that, but then, well, A, there's irrational people, and they got kids that would do it just for the lark. So,
yeah.
And if, depending on how we attach them to the ground or whatever we're going to attach them to, given how windy it gets here, something that might be gone across the lake in no time. So.
Yeah, and that brings up what might be not a dumb idea, but is just like we did at a couple other locations in the township where you get a big boulder set, and then you get a plaque made up, fastened right on the rock. I believe there's one at Minerva Park and one at St. Stephen's. That's like a way of stopping vandalizing because it's just too heavy. And with all those boulders down there, you could have your rest areas and, yes, and do historical plaques, you know, on these boulders.
But
so.
People, if they're going to vandalize, they're going to vandalize. They'll spray paint rock or whatever. You know what I mean?
Less
I
chance.
I would think, like, if you poured cement pad and you put, like, a pole and then encase the banner in a tall, closed-in thing.
You could make it harder for them.
But if they're going to vandalize, they're going to vandalize.
Yeah.
I always worry about the horse.
But I mean, we know that we've had trouble in the rank too with vandalism. So, you know, that's not near. That's not artwork that they're defacing. But this would potentially be, and it would be very, I think, disheartening to the public. So,
Once it's built, you gotta. If there's vandalizing done, you have to fix it and keep it going. There could be an ongoing cost, but I think that's with everything. And we'd have to put up probably cameras, you know, and post that it is on watch all the time. And I think that's people are learning that that's the case. You're filming pretty much everything you do now, everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Kurt, do we have insurance on vandalism? Like, does our insurance cover that?
Yes,
yeah.
So, but we have to determine, is it worth paying the premium?
Yeah.
Anyway, I would hope not, but I mean, I genuinely think given enough time that would simply happen just because that's what people do.
Yeah.
The other thing you'll have to sell to the public is that this walking trail is as important as the roads and the condition they're in. So, you know, money be spent, but that'll depend on what the proposal is for how much to be spent. It sounds fairly major what you're suggesting here for cost, but to do it all around the lakeshore, then the road shouldn't be as expensive out this way, but down the lakeshore. There's nothing, if you're close to the water, you need a permit as well, or within certain feet, you have to be in the water, do you?
I think you have to, if you're putting something in the water.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think you can do right up to the shoreline.
But you can't put anything in it.
Okay. So I'll call a question on the amendment to the resolution, removing historical, and that the banners not be included in the walking trail proposal. Call for the question on that. All those in favor?
I'll throw it out there. That's fine. I can vote in favor of that. But Could it still not be a historical walking trail, even though the banners may never go out there? Is that not a possibility, or still open up? And this isn't even our application that we're going to do, you know, once we get going, kind of thing. Could we still not use the historical word?
Yeah.
No, because just like I like to see those historical plaques on rocks, you know, as the future.
You could put
like,
it. Yeah.
Sorry.
I think you just leave it generic like that. Then if the grant comes up as the other one does, a recreational trail, then you're not specifically saying it's, you know, this
good
kind
point.
Of trail. So.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, call the question on the amendment. Did we do that? No, we didn't do that. Hmm. All those in favor of the amendment? None opposed. And then on the resolution as amended, all those in favor? None opposed. Garrett?
And I'm just wondering, would council be interested in a little walkabout a little bit down? A lot of it, it's easy accessible, but kind of like it's a lot of times to have more people in one kind of, you know, go through it and just get a feel and ideas get thrown out and everything. A lot of times things come out better that way. That's kind of how we did with Minerva Park too, or, you know, it was spearheaded by maybe one or two people, but council were having trouble visualizing. And then when we did meet there, I think the ideas were thrown out, you know, as the location, you know, how it should be faced and all that. You just get so much better input if more people are involved. So I'd like to see council members, but you kind of know basically where it's going to go by Carly's map, the perimeter of the property, but just to kind of really eyeball down there along that shore to show you that when the price comes in, that it's still, it may be well worth that extra work to get down right in there. And now, like, I don't know if your map showed that there's a possibility that there may be an inaccessible portion down, because it's so rough in there that it would be a path, you know, kind of thing, but it's not the accessible portion. There will be coming up to the Ball Diamond portion is accessible. So just if any members of council think they want to look at it, I'd be willing to go with them.
Now, is this a council meeting or just to go on our own? Or
whichever way you want to do it. If you want to set up a date and...
Well, is that the meeting?
No, I don't recommend wearing your high heels.
Okay, don't wear your high heels.
We could always come a half an hour before a scheduled meeting.
That, I thought about that.
Previous council, that's what they got into, and there were questions to the ombudsman about that. So I don't want to start that.
Okay.
Council members meeting and calling it a meeting.
And we'd have to carry all this equipment with us. Can you excuse us just for a little while?
So I would think, you know, even on our own time, that's something, certainly the area is not that far away.
Okay. If anybody wants to go with me for, you know, I like to hear your thoughts on that. So. And just, we can travel together three or more and not be constant as a meeting, apparently.
Well. Apparently you do, but I haven't. But
okay, one at a time.
We'll have a rope between us. The part of a part we can't hear the guy in front.
Do we have to record these when we do this too?
So if we're all going shopping at No Frills and we happen to meet in there, is that called a meeting? If we stop and talk?
Well, if you read legislation, if you forward any business of the community or council while you're meeting together, yes, that is a meeting if you have a quorum.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful.
If we recorded, would that suffice?
Sorry?
If we recorded the walk, like what people were saying on the walk?
No, that's pretty well impossible to do, but
it's not.
It's a meeting, though. That's all I'm saying. So even if you're recording it or whatever, you'd have to go through the procedure what you do for a regular meeting. And if you're not following that procedure, then may have a knock on the door.
Certainly seems to work against the common interest in this situation.
That's the way the rules are set up. And,
yeah.
And you can see why residents would be a bit concerned too. It's like a closed door meeting. They can't come to it. They don't know what's going on. So.
What are they all doing down there?
Finding the budget.
Yeah.
Okay, item 17.4. Okay, resolution 26-176, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Keckin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the accounts payable preliminary check run report for March 2026 from Treasurer Roshan Cantilla for information purposes. Any discussion? Those figures. Councilor Ryland.
On page, sorry, I just got to change the view I got here. Page 3 of 21, there's an item under Fire Protection Services saying beating the propane for 710 Ripple from Fire Station 2, I assume that is. And it's $1,270, and yet the propane for Fire Station 1 is $773. Is that, I mean, I suspect you don't know the answer any more than me, but is it because it's not as well insulated as Fire Station 1?
It's also a much larger building, and Sharon Park Drive Fire Station is a newer building. I'm not quite sure the efficiency of both or the tank capacities. Perhaps Sharon Park only has smaller tanks and Herdville has a larger one, but I can ask.
It could be that simple, too. You're right about the size of the tank. So anyway, it just struck me because they're side by side here, and I'm looking in one's 70% or 80% higher than the other. Right?
Yeah, it is a much larger, more open building in Herdville. Certainly, it was a drive-through when it was built. That was the idea behind it.
Okay.
So
anyway, it's an innocuous question. I see them both, and that's what my head does right away. Is why is that? So.
Any other questions about the figures?
Also, have a question on page 8 of 21. Even though the top right says. H1 anyway. Under Near North Business Machines, we bought a Lenovo computer.
Yes, that's the replacement for the treasurer's workstation. He didn't have enough memory to open files, and his workstation was very old. So instead of having a new workstation, we're going to migrate to laptops with a docking station, so you come in to work and you're more or less working off of your laptop, but you have a monitor and a keyboard and mouse.
Understood completely that.
Yeah.
Support that 100%, so not a problem.
Councilor Zulak.
9 of 21. I'm just curious, Carly, what is a dual arm monitor mount? What is that?
That's again for the treasurer. So he has two computer screens.
Oh.
So it's a mount that affixes to his desk.
I just thought it was something for you.
And you'll also see monitors soon because his monitors were also very old and not working. So we've completely re-outfitted his workstation.
The price didn't matter. I just didn't know what that was.
It could be arms that come right out of the screen.
Thank you.
Councilor Cracken?
Just the typing for you.
Just a quick note, when I was looking through the priority list of projects, 2019, 2020 for council, already back then it was purchase new software for the treasurer. So that's been on the wish list for quite a few years. So good that it's finally in the budget this year.
Sorry.
On page
10
of 21, under the Minister of Finance for plate renewals, there's $12,500 bill here. I assume that's for the fleet.
Correct.
Okay.
That's typical annually. It's for all of our public works.
And again, I've said this before, and I've said it to Roshan. It would be better if, the words that he's typing in as the explanation would say simple things like that, so that we don't have to ask the question. It's fairly obvious from the cost, but still. I think I have one more, but I don't remember where it is right now.
So this is 19 of 21, and insurance facility user group liability policy. Is that new this year for the McKellar market?
That's correct. So the township is taking a insurance policy, and then we are then selling it to the market vendors. So we have included it as a mandatory requirement for this year, and it costs the vendor $1 per market. So it's cheap insurance for them, because if they were to get their own insurance, it usually doesn't pay for them, but the township's able to buy insurance for them and then sell it to them.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Ryan?
On the same page, which is 19 of 21, There was an information technology support for Microsoft Office 365 for $719. Do you know, is that a monthly charge? I'm sure it's not an annual one.
That's
anyway.
A monthly charge,
okay.
So it's our license for our Microsoft 365 accounts, and unfortunately each user has to have their own account, so
yeah.
That's just, it goes right to Microsoft.
Okay. That's what I assumed. I just thought I'd ask. That's all. And maybe it's been there all the time before. I just never noticed.
Yeah, it's
so.
A monthly charge.
Anything else? The figures? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 20.1, Resolution 26-177, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the appointment of Dan Suley to the Westbury Sound OPP Detachment Board as a community member representative on the board. I guess the question is, what do we do with our previous resolution? We named two people there. One of them will not be proposed now, so we'll have to take her name away at some point. I don't have the resolution numbers.
Can you look at the resolution number?
I guess it's confusing because the resolution did name one that we're staying with, and it might have been easier to name both of them tonight and then delete the other resolution, but or rescind it. Is this time sensitive? Is this something we can straighten it? It is, okay.
Yeah, we'll just do it up quick here.
Okay, so the amendment is to add after Dan Suley and Leslie James Harris.
Harris. Yeah.
With Jones Harris. Okay. Further down the resolution number 26-134. That's the amendment. So we'll call the question on that. All those in favor of the amendment? Okay, so that's carried. And then the resolution as amended. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 20.2, Resolution 26-178, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the appointment of Zachary Sturkin to the rank of probationary firefighter for the Township of McKellar on the recommendation of Fire Chief Rob Morrison. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 20.3, Resolution 26-179, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby deem 16 self-contained breathing apparatus, SCBAs, surplus to the needs of the municipality, and further approve the donation of the SCBAs to Firefighters Without Borders Canada. Discussion? Councilor Ryland?
Can I just change that first sentence in the resolution just to say that these are the, I think, expiring, I'm not sure that's the exact right word, just to make it clear that we're not donating the new ones that we just got as well, right? And I think that's the easiest way. We don't need serial numbers or anything like that. And I know Rob talked to us about it last time he was here, or at least the last time I saw him here anyhow, so.
Good point of clarification, thank you.
Yeah, it is, because when I first read it, I thought, what? Aren't we supposed to be getting some for ourselves?
Because otherwise you could take it that way, right? You could say, you said to get rid of them, so we got rid of them, now we don't have them.
I
don't know if it's that stupid, but still.
The new ones are in service currently.
Well, yeah.
So that was a friendly amendment, just to 16 expiring self-contained breathing apparatus surplus. The word expiring has just been added, but only went through a separate there. I'll call a question on the all those in favor of the resolution. None opposed? Carried.
Today's amendment day, apparently. So.
On to bylaws. This is item 21.1, resolution 26-180, moved by Councilor Haslam, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-21, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 2023-08, being a bylaw to establish rules governing the proceedings of council, the calling of meetings, and the conduct of members, staff, and the public, the procedural bylaw, first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open council this 21st day of April 2026. Discussion? I think we've had the rendition, and I don't know whether there's any feedback of adding O Canada, but did they want the just the instrumental version, or did anybody comment? I mean, that's the one that I would prefer. The other one seems to take a bit longer. It's well sung, but...
We'll go with the instrumental.
Okay. Nothing against the singer.
Yeah. I think I did comment back currently that I like the the instrumental one. Oh, I think that's just wonderful. Real piece of art.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Oh, is that... I just had a question on that. Let me actually get to the... was it Schedule A or B? I'm a little confused. I think it said Schedule B in the bylaw, but it should have been Schedule A. Am I on the right one?
Yes, I will change that.
Item 21.2, resolution 26-181, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-19, being a bylaw to adopt the estimates of all sums required during the year 2026, the yearly budget, a third reading and pass an open council this 21st day of April 2026. Discussion? Question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Did you push the easy button?
We still go ahead with this one, even though?
No. Well, like, go read it, but then
okay.
Defeat it.
Under 21.3. It's resolution 26-182, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haslam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-23, being a bylaw to authorize the transfer of ownership and liability of a telecommunications tower and to authorize the execution of a lease agreement with Spectrum Telecom Group Limited, 10 Balsam Road, McKellar, the first and second reading. Further give a third reading and pass an open council this 21st day of April 2026. Any further discussion? All question, all those in favor? Those opposed? Okay, so then defeated. unfinished business. Item 22.1. Anything in that list that could be removed or something you have to add? Hearing none. New business. To public notices, announcements, inquiries, or reports by council members. Councilor Hatton.
Okay. I did go to that meeting about the new power line coming from Barrie to Sudbury. I did go to that meeting and talked with the hydro officials, and there was lots of them there. I don't even know if there was any other public there, but they were all aware of stuff around the neck. And so I talked to them, and they had the map right out there, beautiful map and everything. And I said to them, well, it's not showing. Where it is, well, we're not to that point now. We're doing the public consultations and everything just because they have to. It's part of the regulations. So I talked to them and told them some concerns and that, and it's basically the chances of them swinging off of the existing hydro line that goes through the Perry Sound area is really slim. But they do have an area to the south that I think they think they're going to have to deviate away from the existing hydro line, and that may possibly be the only spot and the reasoning for all this public consultation. But I believe it's going to be 2 or 3 months before they have another meeting with the possibility of the proposed route, and if I find out when the date for that meeting is, I'll go again.
Yeah, I think they had their Zoom meeting tonight, wasn't it? Same time as the council meeting, so couldn't attend that.
Yeah, just one other thing for me, if you want me to go on. I just thought I'd bring it up that I think it was 6 days ago that we came to a budget meeting here, and we seen firefighters rushing around the township, and apparently somebody did go through the ice rescuing their dog. Our firefighters, 911 was called, our firefighters arrived, and they actually went out with their new ice rescue equipment and pulled this person from the water. The person's dog drowned. That's why they went out on the ice. And so the person's dog drowned, but the fire department got them out. He was taken to the hospital and released 5 hours later. But I just think a thank you should go to our firefighters. I believe I was talking to one firefighter, and he said that's their first rescue with their ice rescue equipment. So that's just wonderful. It worked for them. They told me how it works, where the raft goes right. They get in the middle of the raft. You're not trying to pull somebody over the raft. They get into the middle of the raft, so there's no chance of the raft tipping that. It just sounds like a wonderful system, and I just think thank you should go to the wonderful job they did. I know the fellow really well that they saved, and he, I think, his post on Facebook where he thanked them for saving his life kind of thing. So they're 100% with their ice rescuing right now. So that's a pass.
That's good. Well, I'm glad that they're able to save him. Mm-hmm. How long was he in the water?
About 45 minutes.
Holy Christ.
Yeah. But he was smart enough that to take the time to get survival suit, flotation suit from his neighbor.
Oh.
And put it on going out knowing there was the chance, you know, that he may go through. So that probably saved him. He probably wouldn't have made it 45 minutes in the water. Very slim odds. So a good story, except for the dog, unfortunately.
Okay, any other reports? Committee reports? Okay, on to item 25, resolution 26-183, moved by Councilor Ryden, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved by Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda as presented. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any questions, comments related to items on the agenda from in person or on Zoom? Is that a hand up there? 27.1, resolution 26-184, moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-24, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading. Further give a third reading and pass an open Council this 21st day of April 2026. Call the question, all in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Item 28, resolution 26-185, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:31
p.m. to meet again on May the 5th, 2026, for a regular meeting of Council or at the call of the mayor. All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.